This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, March 1st. I'm Gavin Dahl. Delta County Commissioners and the Delta City Council are meeting tonight at the County Administration Building in Delta from 5:30 to 7:30. They will discuss the intergovernmental agreements between Delta County and the city. The public can join the meeting virtually by going to cityofdelta.net/meetings. San Miguel County's COVID-19 positivity rates are declining satisfactorily, so the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment has approved the county's application to move from level orange to level yellow as of today. Hanging Lake in Glenwood Canyon will reopen to visitors beginning May 1st. The Aspen Daily News reports the National Natural Landmark was largely spared during last summer's Grizzly Creek fire. Visitors to Hanging Lake will still need to book their reservations ahead of time online at visitglenwood.com and will be able to do so beginning April 1st. Governor Jared Polis says almost 1 million more Coloradans will be eligible to get the COVID-19 vaccine starting March 5th. The next phase includes residents ages 60 and up, grocery store workers, meat packers, and anyone over 16 with at least two high-risk health conditions. Polis says people over age 50, along with essential workers like restaurant employees, will become eligible in late March. A bill to put an end to Colorado mascots that use Native American imagery, mentioned on KVNF last week, could mean a change for the Montrose High School Indians and Centennial Middle School Braves. School District Public Information Officer Matt Jenkins told the Montrose Press, quote, "The district has always maintained a very collaborative and respectful relationship with our local Native American leaders." Plastic has been around for a century, and its environmental impacts are getting more severe. KDNK's Kathleen Shannon reports on one small solution for a big problem.
There's a lot of plastic floating around in the environment, and it's not just the shopping bags flapping in tree branches. Some plastics are too small to see with the naked eye. Mountain towns make a special contribution to this pool of litter. The wax on the bottom of your skis or snowboard is made from petroleum. That's right, plastic.
The reality is that just about all the ski wax in the world is made from petroleum.
That's the founder of Mountain Flow EcoWax, Carbondalian Peter Arlene. He says ski wax works like a deck of cards. As you're gliding across the powder, snow crystals are constantly pulling the bottom card off the deck, leaving a layer of wax behind on your ski tracks.
And whatever you put on your skis or your snowboard goes directly into the snowpack, and then it ends up in the local watershed.
That's exactly what the Brookshire Watershed Institute gathered scientists to discuss on a recent panel. Those plastics that are too small to see are called microplastics, and Dr. Janice Brainy researches them at Utah State University.
In total, it's estimated that we've produced about 10 billion metric tons of plastic. And each year that production increases by about 4%. Now, much of this plastic ends up in landfills or incinerated. Some of it is recycled, but it's estimated that 12 to 18% ends up in the environment as mismanaged plastic waste.
Plastic is particularly harmful because it doesn't break down into the components it's made of. Brainy says microplastics form when larger plastic trash breaks into smaller and smaller pieces that become unnoticeable but pervasive in both indoor and outdoor environments.
Lines from things like nets or ropes or fishing lines, beads or pellets, foams, styrofoam, coffee cups, takeout containers, films, plastic bag or plastic wrapper, fibers from clothing and textiles, carpet upholstery, tire particles from rubber, which is used in sports fields or from rubber.
Austin Baldwin is a hydrologist with the U.S. Geological Survey's Idaho Water Science Center. He says microplastics have many avenues into the environment.
So wastewater treatment plant discharges, land application of biosolids, stormwater runoff from impervious surfaces like urban areas, and atmospheric deposition.
And once plastics are in watersheds, they are a risk to aquatic organisms and animals higher up on the food chain. But microplastics aren't limited to waterways.
It might spend some time in that soil, and then along comes some big winds, which might remobilize that plastic and some soil back into the atmosphere, and it might have another atmospheric lifetime, and it might end up in the ocean. And so in this way, plastics are just bouncing around the surface of the earth.
Dr. Brainy studies microplastic levels all over the country. She's found that cities have high rates of microplastics, but that urban air stays relatively contained by tall buildings. things. So plastic particles from the inner city mostly stay in the inner city until a storm comes through, triggering what's called wet deposition and scattering urban plastics into rural areas. Another contributor is large-scale agriculture, which uses fertilizers that contain a lot of microplastics. Every time large-scale farmers till the land, those plastic particles shift around, threatening waterways. Microplastics can also get into the environment via dry deposition, meaning through the movement of dust. The biggest culprits in this case are roads.
They're long and they're linear, so that allows winds to pick up speeds along roads. But also, cars driving on roads provide that mechanical energy to move particles high into the atmosphere, much higher in the atmosphere where we see a lot of our storms, our clouds. Above clouds, we have plastics moving around in the atmosphere.
Among protected lands in the West, Rocky Mountain National Park has some of the highest recorded levels of plastic. That's because climate patterns push air through the urban sprawl around Denver and Fort Collins and then directly into the park. In fact, Dr. Brainy says in all the Inner West's protected areas combined, there are between 1,000 and 2,419 metric tons of plastic deposited every year.
That's an enormous amount of plastic falling out of the sky.
It's hard to avoid using plastic. Cosmetics and industrial paints applied through aerosol sprays are big contributors. Ski wax is considered a small part of this problem, but Peter Arlene saw the opportunity for an eco-friendly solution in Mountain Town markets. He started Mountain Flow EcoWax in 2016, experimenting with more than 200 combinations of plant-based waxes in his home kitchen over 2 years before landing on the perfect biodegradable recipe.
You know, it's a classic micro-pollution problem. You can't see it, and on an individual level, it seems inconsequential. But if you look from a macro perspective, and there's 60 million plus skier visits in the U.S. alone every single year, it's hundreds of thousands of pounds of wax that are being introduced into the environment.
Traditional ski wax has an added layer of environmental harm because what makes skis move fast over snow are fluorocarbons, chemicals similar to Teflon. These are toxic both to wildlife and the humans applying ski wax. Scientific American reports that high levels of exposure to these chemicals can lead to serious health risks, including cardiovascular disease, liver damage, hormone disruption, and cancer. Arlene says he framed this environmental hazard from a skier's perspective and was careful not to sacrifice speed or performance for environmental benefits. He says that a new ski wax won't save the world, but making that purchase is an easy behavioral change for customers that doesn't sacrifice cost or quality. For KDNK News, I'm Kathleen Shannon.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Special thanks to reporter Kate Redmond, and thank you for supporting local public media.